You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Fake news, man. This is not a mail-it-in Friday. Brian Hayes, Mike Johnson, we've been all over this all afternoon. I think the energy's been high. You know, I think there's been a lot of quality content. And again, like we started the last hour, we'll start this way as well. Thank you to the Maple Leafs for announcing the Joe Thornton signing prior to us getting off the air, which that happened this time last week. They signed TJ Brody at like 6:54 on a Friday, and then we went into the weekend and had to chew on that. And by Monday, we were still talking about it, but it wasn't with the same intensity. But that's the big news today in Toronto. Joe Thornton has signed a one-year deal at $700,000 with the Maple Leafs, and we'll wait to hear from him at some point. He's playing tomorrow in Switzerland. I'll bet you there'll be a lot of people trying to find that game here in Toronto. And
can you find some sort of like stream service of Davos,
yes,
Swiss Elite League game?
It's online
Joe
somewhere.
In Davos is that he's not even considered an import player because he's married to a Swiss lady. Mm-hmm. That he's a domestic. He's barely getting paid. He's almost playing for free. You got Joe Thornton, Hall of Famer, basically playing for free as a domestic regular Swiss player like the other 18 of them. No pressure on him to score and lead the league in scoring like they are for the imports over there.
No, exactly. And I believe he's got a Swiss passport, so that's how they could skirt around the issue. He's technically Swiss, so he's not counting as an import. And, you know, relatively speaking, he's basically going to be doing that for the Maple Leafs. Like $700,000 is league minimum. That's as low as you can get. And he took the Spezza deal. Wayne Simmonds took double that, but not an exponential amount. I mean, 1.5 for Wayne Simmonds. Zach Bogosian took 1 year at $1 million. Jimmy Vesey took a 1 year deal at, what was it, $925,000 or something like that. And those are your additions. Now, TJ Brody got paid. You know, Brody got $5 million over 4 years.
Yeah.
And he's a top four piece. And he is going to be the most important addition on this team.
By far.
Make no mistake. Yeah, he's playing 20 minutes a night in a lot of different situations, and he is paid to solidify a top four that's been leaky. And I think we got to remember that over the course of the next, you know, 2 or 3 months as we get into camp at some point and start playing games. The attention is going to be on the new guys, which you would expect, but this team is still going to have to be driven by the best players, and Joe Thornton is not the best player anymore. Spezza is not the best player anymore. Wayne Simmonds is not expected to score 30 like he once did. The big boys still got to carry this, but it's a message towards the big guys, you know, clearly.
Yeah, but like, don't get lost in the Tampa shuffle. We're thinking that they won because Blake Coleman and Barkley Gaudreau were there. They won because their best players were the best players. The best players were the best players in the series and the Conn Smythe, all the rest of it. And the Leafs are going to win and do what the team wants to do. It's going to be certainly the depth guys will be different, and I'm sure they're hoping they help. But unless the top two lines, especially if Brody works with Morgan Riley, like if somehow they can find some sort of synergies like Giordano and Brody shared in Calgary. Now, Gio's probably, you know, a bit better than Morgan Riley defensively. Morgan might be even better than Giordano offensively. But if they can find that, that more than anything, we can talk about who's going to play wing with Tavares. We can talk about who's Joe Thornton going to center. Is it going to be what? It's all like so much of this season rides on, does TJ Brody really work with Morgan Riley? And they signed him under the assumption that it would, that it should, and that it will. And if it does, the Leafs are in such a different team because then they can roll out. We know Hull and Muzzin are good at what they do. They work well together. You can figure out the third pair, whatever it's going to be, Dermott or Lettinen or Bogosian or however that shakes out. But they need that first pair to be rock solid. And so that'll be, you know, as fun as Joe Thornton is, we can't bury the lead of the day. I mean, it's wild. This is a Hall of Famer. Another guy chooses to put on his Leaf PJs and come home.
Yep.
So to
another
speak,
first overall
St.
pick.
Thomas about, you know, an hour and a half away, first overall pick. Now there's going to be what? So I pointed out, the top three centers on Toronto are all going to be first overall picks. JT and Austin and Joe Thornton, 1, 2, 3 down the middle.
Yeah, and that's cool trivia, but let's see, you know, what it means when they get on the ice, right? Like that.
You're not feeling the top three. No, picks, eh?
I like that. Like it's definitely it's cool. It's
that's
trivia
good for trivia.
Yeah, yeah. But perfect. You know, I've been dealing with trivia for a long time with this team. They haven't won a playoff round in 15 years. There's a lot of trivia. I give you trivia, Johnny, but I'd like some playoff success trivia. And I think when we look at what they've got now, and they still have to work out a deal with Mikheyev, who has an arbitration case coming up. He's not going to get paid a ton of money. Dermott's an RFA.
Weak case. Yeah.
It's a weak case just because of the injury and everything. And Dermott's got no leverage on anything. Dermott's taken a cheap deal.
He's in a tough spot.
Really tough spot. And I think
take
he knows it.
And like it.
Yes. That's exactly what's coming. So if this is the off season, and I'm still not convinced that they won't do something, but I think they are in a better position big picture today than they were 3 or 4 months ago. Individually, yeah, we could start saying I'd rather Kapanen than this guy. I'd rather maybe Janssen than this guy. I'd rather maybe Tyson Barrie than this guy or whatever, based on individual talents and ability. But I like that they have solidified depth and goal. I like that they've solidified depth on defense. And I like that they have drastically changed their bottom six and the vibe around this team. I think it was absolutely imperative. Dubas spoke to it. And to credit Kyle Dubas, he has followed through on a lot of these moves. Here's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. How do you see this playing out here, Pierre, with Joe Thornton now signing in Toronto 1 year at $700,000?
Yeah, just traded text with him a few minutes ago. Man, I can tell you, he's really excited. I mean, I think this means so much for his family and his parents. And not an easy decision for him either. You know, Hayes, I mean, San Jose means so much to him. And those would have been tough phone calls for him today. I know he was calling Sharks captain Logan Couture and a few other teammates to let them know about his decision before they heard it from the Leafs news release. I think he also called Sharks GM Doug Wilson and, you know, classy to the end, of course. And that would have been hard for Joe Thornton to say goodbye to the Sharks, although I can guarantee you his number 19 will be raised to the rafters in that old tin barn there in the Bay Area. But I think this is tremendous. I mean, I think Leaf fans are in for such a treat for this larger-than-life personality. I mean, 25 years covering the game, I don't know if I've ever been around a guy who loves the game more. Like, I mean, Sheldon Keefe's biggest challenge will be keeping this guy off the ice on off days and morning skates. Like, he just total rink rat and smile on his face every day when he's at the rink. I think in many ways the way that Jason Spezza, I think, injected a certain intangible in the Leafs, I think times 10 here with Joe Thornton. And I heard your preamble, and I think you're bang on. Like, you got to give Kyle Dubas credit because he said that he was going to address certain elements in his roster. And, you know, I know this is the obvious comparison, but if you look at the way that the Tampa Bay Lightning tweaked their roster in the 15 months between losing to Columbus and winning the Cup, they added a lot of similar type players around their core. They didn't change their core, but they added certain elements, you know, a veteran like Maroon, who's always got a smile on his face and had won a cup in St. Louis, some real physical players in Blake Coleman and Barkley Goudreau, another veteran who has a certain element in Bogosian, who of course now is in Toronto and is part of Kyle Dubas's tweaking. Bogosian, Simmons, Thornton. It's you know, it's not the reason why the Leafs might finally break through. If they ever win, it's because of Matthews and Marner and Nylander, of course. I mean, that doesn't change. But changing some of the voices and some of the other intangibles around that skill, I think, was paramount for the Leafs after yet another disappointment this year. And they did that. And I think this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I think it was obviously imperative, and they knew it. And I think they may have seen something in that bubble, and I think Sheldon Keefe's got a loud voice that, like, Babcock would have had a loud voice, but I'm not sure Dubas was as interested in what he had to say. I think Sheldon Keefe clearly has the ear of Kyle Dubas. And I'll give Kyle credit, Dubas, that I don't think he's a vindictive guy. You know, I don't think he's, because old school GMs, I think, would have looked at this group and said, I just paid you guys and this is how you treated me. One of you's going. Like, I'm getting rid of you because I can't look at you. And I may have reacted that way, right? That you all held me over the barrel. One of you stays in Sweden for 3 months. The other one's demanding Austin's contract. The one of you won't sign an 8-year deal. It's only 5 because I need every penny I can get, you know, and I would probably be vindictive. I think what Dubas has done here is suggested, I gave you that money because I believed in you. I still believe in you, and I'm going to help you. I'm not going to be vindictive. I'm not going to throw you overboard. I'm going to help you, and I'm going to do it in a different fashion by bringing in guys like this, like Thornton and Simmons. And I think the young guys, they owe a lot to Kyle Dubas because he paid them a lot of money, and he didn't throw them overboard. He just continued to support them, and this is a different way of supporting them. And I credit him for that because I wouldn't have that disposition. I don't think I would. I think a lot of old-school GMs in the league probably wouldn't either.
And let me add another comment, and I don't know this for sure, but this is just my observation. Do you remember the conversation that we had on this show the day after the Leafs were knocked out by Columbus in August? And you asked me where I think maybe some of this was headed. And do you remember what I said? I said to you that I thought we might see a bit more of Brendan Shanahan's influence in this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that has occurred or not. But I can tell you that these types of players that were just added are right up his alley.
Right.
I don't think there's any disputing that.
That's not a shocker there. No, he would like that. And Pierre, I think you know Joe Thornton very well. You and I always rummaged around San Jose in the playoffs those last half decade together. First couple rounds is going to hurt your wine cellar now with Joe being in Ontario. But everyone has this perception of Joe Thornton as this kind of happy-go-lucky, lovable guy, certainly passionate, but, you know, just kind of easygoing and laid back. He's not. Can you let people in on how fierce a competitor he is and how willing he is to get loud, vocal, and in your face in the locker room if he has to? Because that's not his public persona, but we both know privately he does that if he feels like he needs it.
Yeah, I mean, he is happy-go-lucky when it's not a game.
Right.
And then when it's game time, it's a whole different ballgame. Yeah, I've talked to former teammates who were, I mean, petrified at times of the intensity because he wants to win so badly, and especially when he wore the C in San Jose. I don't know that that has been the same the last couple of years after Joe Pavelski became captain and then Logan Couture. I think Joe knew to, you know, take a step aside leadership-wise that way. And in the same way, I think we'll try to find his way here with this Leafs team and not step on toes. But certainly when he was captain, I mean, the intensity was unbelievable. The stories I've heard about how badly he wanted to win, getting on guys if he had to as captain, and being hard on himself too. I mean, his standard for himself. I mean, he's his own worst critic. There's no question about it. And that's part of the story here. It's not just, I mean, I know that his parents would be over the moon right now. I mean, in 2017, when the Leafs tried this under Lamoriello and Babcock, I mean, I think his parents got pretty excited. And it just, the timing wasn't right. And don't forget, he was coming off that really serious knee injury that year. And I think part of it for him was not wanting to come here to Toronto. And never, if you remember that season, it really took him forever to get his skating back. So I think the timing was off in that way. But it touched him a lot. I mean, it really meant a lot to him that the Leafs tried so hard that summer. And that kind of stayed with him, I think. But now that he's done this, I mean, I think is you know, he grew up in St. Thomas, as everyone knows. And it's just going to be so special, I think, for his parents to see Joe in a Leafs uniform at the end of his career. And the expectations are so different. I mean, he's coming on a $700,000 contract. But he can still play. And I know, you know, I'm guessing a lot of people listening here didn't stay up and watch Sharks games last year. I mean, why would you? It was a lost season for them late at night when they play. But he was still going and playing with, you know, not the best wingers on that team and having to carry them. But he's still got the all-world passing skills and vision. He's obviously slowed down. But he's not going to have to play big minutes on this roster. He'll just have to pick his spots. And, you know, I think it's, like I said, I just think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun, too. I think, you know, Sheldon Keefe really comes into the focus now. Like, Dubas has made his moves, and now it's Sheldon Keefe's turn to make this all work. And you hit on an interesting point there that I had made a note of earlier. John Tavares is the captain, will remain the captain. The A's last year were Morgan Riley, Austin Matthews, and Mitch Marner. I got to believe you're sticking with those guys, and which will be interesting because it'll be the first time in like 15 years Joe Thornton wouldn't have a letter on his jersey. Mm-hmm. But
you
that's
have to.
Yeah.
A's, take it from a guy who had the A taken off his jersey mid-career on the same team.
Yeah.
It's not a great
feeling.
You
can't do it, right?
When Wayne Gretzky took over as a coach, and he's like, here, I'm going to take it from you and give it to Peter Nedved, noted leader. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. So I don't think they can go down that road at all.
I don't
think
that's what I'm saying. I think as much as you love that these guys are here now, it's like you can't go to Austin Matthews and say, sorry, that's Joe Thornton's A now or Mitch Marner. You can't.
And frankly, if you know a bit of Joe Thornton's history and with letters in San Jose and other players in San Jose, I think the whole letter thing, you'd rather just forget about it all right now because – it's quite the history in San Jose where they've had great leaders, but, you know, Patrick Marleau was stripped of the C by Ron Wilson, and then eventually Joe Thornton, you know, they do the captaincy change, and Pavelski, and, you know, I don't think that Joe Thornton has even thought for a second about whether he's getting an A in Toronto. I mean, honestly, I think he could care less.
Yeah, and that's what you got to hope for, because I think Sheldon Keefe's got to balance all this out with, you know, the incumbent players, the new players, and these new players are going to be, they're going to be loud, right? Like they're going to subject themselves into that room pretty quickly.
And I was going to say too, before I forget this thought, even though it's the most obvious, but I feel like sometimes you don't even talk about some of the things that, I mean, Joe Thornton wants to win a cup so badly. And you know, Logan Couture told me this story from 2 years ago when the Sharks came back to, and that shocking game 7 win over Vegas, right? The 5-minute power play and the comeback. And Couture said that he looked across the bench in the near the end of the third period after they completed their comeback and saw Joe Thornton in tears on the bench. And, you know, I don't think that anyone ever asked Thornton about it, but I think certainly from Couture's perspective, it was just how badly this guy just wants another shot. Just a shot at it. You know, he went to the 2016 Cup final, been to like 5 conference finals, the Sharks always in the mix, but wants to win a cup so bad. And my point is, this isn't just about coming home for mom and dad. I mean, Joe Thornton doesn't sign in Toronto unless he thinks they have a shot. Like, if he doesn't think they have a legitimate shot, he's not signing here. So that's a big part of this. And, you know, I don't know that he would ever put it in those words, but that's part of this, and that tells you what he thinks of this roster. And believe me, he would have had some pretty good intel from Patrick Marleau, I'm sure.
Well, I think the next move is you go out there and acquire Patrick Laine, and you wrap up a perfect offseason. Right, Pierre?
Nice. Another news, the salary cap number has been changed to $100 million for next season.
Only for the Leafs. Only for the Leafs.
Yeah.
So what's going on here? That was a spicy little report you had yesterday, and where does this go?
It wasn't like I was going out of my way, but, you know, I reached out to Laine's camp because, you know, we've been reporting for weeks that the Jets have had trade discussions with other teams, and now you start hearing from people around the league, well, he's not going to report to camp if he's not dealt and this and that, and I feel it's important to get clarity on these things. And that's what I did. And his agents, Mike Liut and Andy Scott, absolutely refuted the fact that he would not report to camp. And he hasn't asked for a trade. But as they went on to say, as you heard on Insider Trading, you know, given that Patrick Laine knows he's been in trade talks, given that it's been a constant frustration and topic of conversation in Winnipeg, his usage in that lineup, it's kind of this strange thing where a 40-goal scorer normally doesn't play on their top line. There's just all these elements that have kind of piled up, and the fact that he's in, you know, a year from now, he needs a new deal, and his qualifying offer is $7.5 million. They've signed all their other core guys, and he's the one that they haven't, and they bridged him. That's another headache that's coming down the road. So when you add all these things up, what his agents told me is that they feel it's probably mutually beneficial that this probably ends up in a trade. So that's certainly not insignificant when it comes from his camp. And there's no guarantee he gets dealt. I mean, Kevin Cheveldayoff, whom I reached out to last night, I mean, he's not in the corner here. Like, he's obviously exploring it. It's the worst kept secret in hockey. But this isn't about, you know, I've got 3 months to do this before puck drop or else. I mean, he's going to do it if he feels he can do something that makes sense. But the point is, he's certainly going to try and do it, I think.
If they go down that road and they're clearly going to explore it, Pierre, is it a number one pair defenseman with Paul Stasian? Like, the thought that maybe it should be a centerman, they got Perfetti coming. Is it a number one D? And if so, like, have you canvassed what potential kind of defenseman like that might be available?
Certainly a top 4D would have, I think, would ultimately hopefully be part of a package, but I don't know that a number one D is there. Like,
right.
I'll give you an example. I mean, we know that the Flyers and Jets have talked a couple of times. Provorov's not part of any package. Like, the Flyers aren't doing that. So if there's a Flyers-Jets trade at some point, it's going to have to not include Provorov. Carolina called Winnipeg a number of weeks ago about Laine, when they love to get Laine with Aho and Teravainen. But they're not trading Slavin. That's just, they're not. So that shows you the difficulty of getting this package together. You know, if there is a Laine deal, the best player in the deal will be Patrick Laine, and the Jets just have to hope that the other pieces fit well. And certainly that could be a top 4D, not a number 1D, but potentially a top 4D, but other assets as well. And if not, if that trade is just not there, then I don't think Winnipeg does it. Then they just try to make this work for another year and then perhaps take another crack at it later.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of trend. I've noticed people in Winnipeg are kind of concerned about that. Like, it's Trouba all over again. There's been a couple of pretty prominent players who have just all of a sudden wanted out. And to Trouba's credit, I mean, by all accounts, he wanted out, but he went back and played, I think, for a couple more years, right? And then eventually they worked out the deal with the Rangers. But this is not going to go over well in that town at all.
He's a fan favorite. He's a fan favorite for sure.
Will he still be, though, Pierre? When you start asking for trades, will you still be?
Well, he didn't ask for a trade, though.
Mutually when beneficial he's
open
is...
You're semantic to me. Like, he's open to it. It's the best interest. Okay, whatever. He's not asking to stay. Can I say that?
You know how I went to great length to use the exact words that were communicated to me.
And
I knew someone would use that and take it next level.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. The fact that he's not asking to stay, saying, no, I want to be here. I wanted to work here. I love Winnipeg. I'm a Jet. I want to retire a Jet. He's not saying that, is he?
Right.
And will that somehow sour the relationship with the fans there? Because people want to cheer for people who want to be there.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. And listen, that organization does things really well. Like, they draft well. They've made a lot of good trades. They built this team from the ground up when they moved from Atlanta. But the reality is, no matter how good their program is, when July 1st comes, not a lot of phone calls return. I mean, it's just not a go-to market, which is too bad because, man, like, amazing fan base. It's one of the best places to watch a game, the National Hockey League. But it's just not a go-to for free agents. And you know what's I'm going to touch on this in That's Hockey at the top of the hour on TSN, but you know what's lost in all this, because of course it should be lost. It's not nearly as important as storyline. But you know who's happy? He's back in Winnipeg. Generally happy. Like, was receptive to his trade and was glad to be back for a second time as Paul Stastny. He enjoyed his playoff run with that team. He had a modified no trade. Guess what? He didn't even have to waive to go from Vegas to Winnipeg because he did not have Winnipeg on his no list, unlike a lot of players around the National Hockey League, because he enjoyed playing in Winnipeg. And I will tell you this, I wouldn't surprise me if the Jets were able to extend Paul Stastny, who's up in a year. So it's not all doom and gloom, as you know, pretty hard to get past the headline of a potential Liney deal, but there is a quality veteran, Paul Stastny, who's happy to be a Jet again.
Yeah, and they got a pretty good team. You know, they're in a, I think, a pretty good spot, and maybe an all-Canadian division. We'll see. That's a story for another day, I guess. Great stuff as always. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Have a great weekend, and thanks for not asking me about my heart being crushed in a million pieces last Sunday. Appreciate that.
Well, you got the win,
like
though.
Jack's ankle.
I like Andy Dalton this weekend, man.
The red rifle.
Yep. I like the Cowboys on Monday. I think they roll. I'm jumping on board them winning the NFC East 6-10 home game.
Wow, that's like winning the North Division in 1986. But sure,
yeah, exactly. Some of the Leafs were made the playoffs and they won 12 games that year. But it's all good. All right, thank you, buddy.
All right, boys.
Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, that All Canadian Division, Johnny, is. I saw.
Yes.
It's circulating online. Someone on Reddit, I believe, kind of mapped everything out. So you'd have a division with the seven Canadian teams. You'd have an East division with Boston, Buffalo, Pitt, Washington, Philly, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Devils.
Yeah.
Central.
Northeast. Yeah.
Yes. Central with Chicago, Columbus, Detroit, St. Louis, Nashville, Carolina, Tampa, Florida. And then the West would be Minnesota, Dallas, Colorado, Arizona, Vegas, San Jose, LA, Anaheim, which I think would, like, Colorado, Dallas, and Vegas would just steamroll those teams, I think. But
yeah, for sure. I mean, Vegas is a lock in the Pacific, it feels like. A lock.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But you mix Colorado in, and that would be tricky. Like, and I guess if you're not going to play against all the different divisions, you would presume it would be four teams from every division, maybe, for the one time.
Probably
because
top
how
four
do you
teams
equate one versus the other? I don't know how that works, but all-Canadian division would be tough. A lot of good teams in Canada.
Yep.
I mean, where's the cupcake in Canada? I mean, I guess Ottawa is the one bad team in Canada right now, but even they've improved, and they will be a different feeling kind of team if they get good goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
Like an all-Canadian division would be tougher than the Atlantic division they currently play in.
Absolutely. Oh, I'd much prefer the Atlantic division, like the usual.
But I don't think,
division.
Though, that if they go down this road, it is for the entire season. I think this is a way to start the year, if the borders are still closed, get playing. There are seven teams, so you can play six different opponents, four games against each opponent, 24 games total, and that could be a half of your season or 24 of the 60 games you end up playing. And then when things open up more, then you start crisscrossing around and rejig and reconfigure and see how it works. But I think as a fan, I got no problem with an all-Canadian division.
Me
I don't
too.
Know if the Leafs like it as an organization, but as a fan?
Permanently.
Are you kidding
like
me?
It. Yeah.
Out West, the split jerseys in the crowd, or the crowds if they're there, the energy, the attention, the focus, I think it would be great. And even the players, if it doesn't last the whole year, they'll be cool doing that for the first 6 weeks. Bouncing around Canada, great cities
absolutely.
To play in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the end of, you know, a lot of people say that would make no sense. I don't think it's that bad at all.
No, I'm totally on board with it. And I think logistically it makes a lot of sense to dance around COVID and the borders. And I mean, TFC's playing this weekend. TFC's been down in Hartford this whole time. And I read this afternoon
with
that
fans.
They're going to have fans. Do you know how, like, are the Red Patch boys going to somehow take the quarantine on the way back?
So.
They're going to get down there and get in that stadium somehow and just come back and quarantine for 2 weeks because, like, a Toronto team is playing in front of fans for the first time, and it's not in Toronto. It's going to be in Hartford, and I have no idea if they're going to get 5,000 people. But even if it's 500, like, that's our team down there, you know, and none of us can be down there. It's crazy. So, yeah, we'll continue with this and more. You've got a story that I guess you can match Kawhi Leonard and tardiness with the plane with. Okay, we'll get into that
and
more coming up. With Mike Johnson, I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, as we know, Movember is the leading global organization committed to changing the face of men's health. Their goal, to stop men from dying too young. Movember raises funds and awareness for men's mental health and suicide prevention, prostate cancer, and testicular cancer. There are lots of ways to get involved. You can grow a mustache, move 60 kilometers during the month, host a virtual fundraiser, or mow your own way by creating your own unique challenge. Sign up at Movember.com. So big news in the city today, Joe Thornton locking in one-year deal at $700,000. And we were talking about Kawhi Leonard earlier in that article out of The Athletic, and this indication that Kawhi didn't really care that much about when the plane was supposed to take off, right? He'd show up at Staples, or I guess it was at LAX, or wherever they were flying out of, whenever he wanted to. And he lived in San Diego, which was news to me. I did not know he was living in San Diego, which I'm guessing that means he wasn't hanging out with the boys too much
after
the game.
Not too many lunches post-practice.
No, I don't think so. But you've run into your issues with the planes before.
I have. Okay. If I start sweating while telling the story, you know why. It brings up bad memories.
Yep.
So let me paint the picture for you, Hayes, okay? It's March 97. I was playing my third game ever in the NHL. And I'd never traveled with the team. My first game was in Florida. I flew there straight from Bowling Green. After the game, I flew back to Bowling Green, so I never went with the team. We play Philly, Legion of Doom line. Eric goes for 6 points. So does LeClaire. Renberg picks up a 4 spot. We lost badly. Tough start. It's my first time going to fly on a charter plane. They asked me, do I need a ride? I'm like, no, I'm from Toronto. I got it. Just give me the directions. I know where the airport is. I know the names of the roads. Just Renforth Drive, 401. Like, I'll get it. It's fine. Just give me directions. Again, 97, no cell phones, no GPS, no nav in your car. So off I go. I'm supposed to be there at 11 o'clock or 11:30. I leave the Maple Leaf Gardens at like 10:15, give myself 45 minutes, tons of time to get out there. Sure enough, drive out there. I get around the airport. I'm on Renforth Avenue, and I'm looking for a street called Silver Dart Drive. That's the street I'm supposed to turn on, Silver Dart Drive. I still remember it. Up and down I go. I can't quite see it. Now it's 11. It's 11:10. I'm getting kind of stressed out. It's 11:20. I'm like up into neighborhoods. I'm like, I can't board a plane inside a driveway. I'm in some factory. I'm running through red lights. It's 11:30. I'm freaking out. I don't own a cell phone. I'm coming out of college.
Yeah.
I don't have a credit card. My car's making funny noises. Like, I'm not sure what's happening. I'm losing my mind. 11:30, 11:40. Back and forth I go, up and down Renforth. I'm like, I can't imagine the Kawhi's case, like what they could be saying about this snot-nosed rookie out of Bowling Green who's played 2 games and is missing the plane. I'm looking for a place called Esso Avitat. That was the name of the hangar.
Yeah.
So somehow I look up in the distance, like 11:50. And this, next time you go near the airport, look for it. It is the biggest building you've ever seen in your life. Like, how I didn't see it for an hour is beyond me.
Right.
It's like, Like the blimp-sized logo on the side of the building. So anyways, I turn into the street. I get to the parking lot outside the Esso Avitat. It's got to be 11:50. I'm a good 20, 25 minutes late. I can't find the entrance through the fencing from the parking lot.
Right, to get so onto like, the tarmac.
To get into like the little office building to walk to the tarmac.
Okay,
so I start climbing the fence. I'm on top of the fence with a suit bag, a suit on.
Yeah.
And the fence has barbed wire on the top.
Oh, my God.
Because it's an airport.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm like, I get up there and then I immediately say, nah, I can't do it. I can't go over barbed wire. Who am I kidding?
No way.
So back down in my car, find the actual proper parking lot, park, go barreling into the charter service, run into the Raptors who are landing from Detroit. I'm like, hey, Vince Carter, pretty cool. Anyways, run in. I ask the guy, hey, is this where the Leaf plane is? And he's on his walkie-talkie. Yeah, the Leaf's here. I'm like, okay, good. He's like, guy's here. So I'm just waiting there breathlessly, like, where do I go? What do I do?
Right.
And he's like, oh, they're gone.
They left without you.
Oh, my God. What? They're going to Pittsburgh. So I'm trying to think, okay, I'm going to have to drive to Pittsburgh, or I'm going to have to call my parents and ask them to buy me a plane ticket to get me to Pittsburgh the next morning.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the NHL, but I haven't been paid yet. I maybe have $100 in my bank account. I got nothing. I'm almost in tears. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to handle it. I'd be freaking. I'd quit.
I was destroyed, wrecked. About what seems like 5 minutes, but it's maybe 15 seconds. The guy on the walkie-talkie says, no, they're coming back for you.
Oh, no.
Which
that's
I
even
think
worse.
Might be worse.
Way worse.
That might be worse.
Way worse. Are they
like,
in the
just
air?
Go.
Tell me they're not in the air.
I don't know where they are. They weren't. They were taxiing.
Okay, good.
So they turn the big bird around, taxi back to this charter service.
Oh,
now
no.
They have me driving out on the back of the pickup truck with the stairs attached to it. So I'm standing on the stairs as they drive up to this massive plane that pulls up. And all I can think about is, like, what must these guys who don't know me at all? I've been there for two days.
They don't have a clue who you are.
2 days, and I didn't even travel them. I played a game and left. That's it. So I get up, and I'm on the verge of tears. The door opens up. The stewardess is there. She's, like, shaking her head at me, and I'm like, oh, boy. I turn to walk down the aisle, and I am bombarded with profanity. Like, just assaulted verbally from the back of the plane.
Oh, my God, it would be just so ruthless.
And just every voice. There must have been 30 guys. Just, what? Why'd you little?
Yeah. Who the hell do you think
you are? And I just kind of quickly shuffled down the aisle. Sorry, wrong directions. Sorry, wrong directions. And just dove into the first seat I could find. Just try to get my head down and stay out of the firing line.
Yeah.
It was awful.
It would be ruthless.
Awful.
So who's on this team? And like, so, Wendell's on this team. Matt's?
Wendell was on this team. They just made, just after the Doug Gilmore trade. So 97, we had, like, Jason Smith had come over. Jamie McCowan was there. Ty was there.
Ty was on
Matt's
that team.
Matt's was there.
Ty, like, would have just lit you up.
Felix Potvin was there. Just ruthless.
Oh.
So, dude. I flew, and I'm like, well, that's it. I'm not playing tomorrow, like, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my career is going to be over before
it
even begins.
You're going back to Bowling Green.
I'm like, I might as well go back and take my classes and try to graduate. I'm going to need the degree because my hockey career is going nowhere. So it's great. Mike Murphy's the coach, and he's like, you know what? Don't worry about it. These things happen. You're playing tomorrow. So they fine me what I thought was a ton of money for being late, like $1,000, which to a college kid is an obscene amount
of money. Yeah, you're in the hole $900 already.
But on the I'm down $100 trying to cover it. Exactly. But on some level, it helped because it was an icebreaker. So every time I sat at like the next day at lunch or whatever, it's like I had a story to tell the guys, and they could relate back. Oh, don't worry about it. And the best part of the story is, I went out and played the next night against Pittsburgh, against Mario, had 1-1, scored my first goal of my career, and we won the game.
Well, then that
ends
it.
And actually, if you can see, can we see it?
Yeah.
There's the first goal puck right there.
Oh, yeah.
On
the
wall.
There she is in the background.
There it is.
See, that, you needed that. Imagine you played poorly the next night, like garbage.
Imagine I was -3.
Oh, didn't see a
couple bad turnovers.
Yeah.
So that was my missed flight. But unlike Kawhi, it never happened again. I was always early after that. But that was my first ever trip in the NHL with my team.
Just the heart racing. The
anxiety.
The anxiety of driving up and down and around the airport and not knowing. Like, that's
crippling.
What we take. You talk about what we take for granted now with technology and stuff. It would just never happen now. Like, you'd pump it into the GPS or you'd make a phone call. And the thing is, with like something like that is really kind of like a secret society almost. You can't ask the gas station. They don't know where the hell you're supposed to go.
I wanted to get pulled over so I could ask a cop. I'm like, I'm speeding and running red lights. I'm like, give me a ticket. Just help me. I need to find this place.
Find a way to get me home, basically. Like, get me at that airport.
Yes.
That would be ruthless.
The next year for Christmas, I got one of those Pearly's map books with a tabbed page for Silver Dart Drive.
That is quality stuff. Because it speaks to two opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of where you are in the career, right? Like, you show up late, you're getting roasted, and you knew it. When that door opened, when they came back, you're like, I am a dead man when I walk in there. Like, Wendell Clark's on that plane. Wendell is on the plane, and Ty's on the plane, and you can't say anything. You know you're in the wrong, and you know you're going to take it, and that's the way it goes. With Kawhi, they probably didn't say a word to Kawhi because they're like, if they do, I'm going to get shipped out. Like, this guy's late, making us wait, and I'll bet you they never taxied without him. You know, they sat there on the tarmac and waited for him to show up.
Yep.
And when he showed up, Patrick Beverley had to bite his lip, and Montrezl Harrell, they had to chew on it because Steve Ballmer might have been on that plane too. If he heard a peep towards his guy, chances are you're getting off the plane and you're staying behind. Just a different world.
I'm worked up
world.
Just telling that story again.
Yeah,
I'm struggling.
That is that would be the most stressful scenario. Like, everyone's had a I'm late and I can't find where I'm going moment, but not like that. Like, day one, first travel, you're a kid with vets team you grew up, you were probably like, dude, Pearson, like, who do you think you're talking to, man? I grew up in Scarborough.
I grew up in Scarborough, man. I know what's up.
Turning down drives, turning down an easy access to an easy route, to an easy walk on the plane. But it's actually probably worth it now, right? In a weird way, it's a story, and you can tell it. And 23 years removed, you're like, I survived, and somehow I kept playing.
Yeah, barely.
It worked for you. That would be just – I'd be so shook, like so shook walking on that plane.
It was years before I got over it. Years.
Yeah, it would take you a while. Probably still comes up with some of those
still
guys.
Not even.
I can imagine. we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Look ahead to the weekend. And, again, recap the news of the day one more time. Joe Thornton is a Maple Leaf, 1 year at $700,000. What does the roster look like? Might the Leafs do anything else? We'll get to that and more next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the point spread on Sunday. I like Pittsburgh this weekend. I think Cleveland's a good team, 4-1. They're a good team, but Pittsburgh's better, and they're at home. And I think I'll lay the points with Pittsburgh at home. The same thing with the Giants, which is scary to bet on any team against in the NFC East. But they're playing a team in the NFC East. They're playing Washington at home. And I think Minnie starts to pick things up. I think the Vikings are a lot better than they showed early on in the year. Atlanta fired their coach, but they're not going to get that new coach bump. They're just not good enough. So I'm on Minnie, the Giants, Pittsburgh. Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine, it's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So Joe Thornton's a Leaf, Johnny. You think Kyle Dubas will still be active, or do you think this is about it?
I think it's got to be about it. I mean, he's got to get Mikheyev and Dermott done. That'll eat up all the money they have, and then some. So unless other bodies are going out, I think this is it. He talked about wanting to reshape the roster, different image, maybe tougher to play against. Maybe it's more grit, it's more experience, whatever. Different kind of players.
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly done that. And I think Joe can still play. I know he had a tough year last year because San Jose had a tough year last year. But the more I'm looking into it, the more his numbers are probably ready for a bounce back. He's still got game left. He can still play. I think he can play at third line center and help the Leafs right now.
Okay, well, I'm assuming that's where they have him, you know, planted at this point, is on the third line. He's going to play either third or fourth. We know he's not playing ahead of Austin or Tavares, but it's a different look. You know, it's been an active 2 weeks for Kyle Dubas and company. I think Shanahan's played a big role in that, but I think big picture, I like what they've done. You know, individually, you can look at guys and say, is that going to work? Is that going to work? Mm-hmm. But big picture, they still have the strong core, talented core. I like how they've turned things around in terms of the way they look, the way they're likely going to play, and I think it says something about the room, the bench. They needed some more life in there, and they've certainly achieved it at the very minimum with these guys. Great stuff today, buddy. As always, I think you're back in the chair next Friday, I believe.
Every time I show up, something happens.
Yeah, I know.
Every time I show up, there's news that comes down. So I'll be around next Friday. We'll do it all over again.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your weekends. We are back Monday at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.